Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, commencing at verse 31, and that can be found on page 979 in the church Bibles. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest garden plant and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It is really, really lovely to be with you. And I'd just like to send greetings from Heatherside and their prayers to you all. Really have felt very welcomed, both here and over at Heatherside, both myself and the family. So I just wanted to give my personal thanks for that. So today we are going to be looking at the parable of the yeast and thinking about how the kingdom of God comes through the outworking of transformational discipleship. But first of all, I wanted to tell you about two people. Now, in the winter of 1971, just to let you know, I wasn't born then, a young couple, Vijayne and Primala Pavamani, felt a deep calling to be of service to people in distress in the teeming metropolis of Calcutta. They trusted God and took a step of faith and put an advertisement in the Statesman newspaper inviting people in distress to either phone them or come to their home in the compound of St. Paul's Cathedral in Calcutta. The next day, they were overwhelmed by 60 people from various walks of life turning up. Everyone was warmly welcomed with a cup of chai, and everyone received a listening ear. And to their surprise, most of them not only went away helped and comforted, but they returned to volunteer their services to those in need. And it became a small window onto the needs of the city. Now, over the next few years, the work grew into the Calcutta Samaritans. They founded a residential rehabilitation home for substance users and people struggling with alcohol. And they also set up a free school for children from the poorest of backgrounds. Before, in 1985, Emmanuel Ministries, an umbrella organization, was formed. Aged 18, I lived and worked with the Pavamanis for 6 months. We arrived in the early hours of the morning. It was hot and smelly, and we arrived at the house which I would call home, and I remember saying, I'm never leaving the house. All my senses were overwhelmed. The busy noise, the smells, the intense heat and humidity. I really could not see how Jesus could be in this place. How could these people think and believe in the goodness of God and that God's kingdom and reign had come and that it brings transformation? Where was the evidence? The parables Jesus teaching to his listeners of what the kingdom of God is like sits well within our culture because it's a love of telling stories. If, like me, you find real life stories helpful, then Jesus is the person to go to. In Matthew 13, we have a cluster of three parables, the sower, the mustard seed, and then our parable today, all with an agricultural feel. Jesus wants us to understand what God's kingdom is and looks like. Why? Because it enables us to live it out and communicate that wherever we find ourselves. This is Jesus' method of discipleship. As I speak to you this morning, I want you just to be thinking and asking yourself the question, what is this parable teaching us about discipleship? And most importantly, how does transformation take place on that journey? Does this help us and others understand what the kingdom of God is like? Now, today for our parable, we're in the home baking bread. So I decided to have a little experiment. I thought I would try and connect with the story and see if I could get that aha moment that Jesus was trying to communicate. So I thought, okay, let's see how I get on. Now, I do bake bread quite regularly in our house. It doesn't last very long when it's baked, but only with the help of my trusty bread maker. However, I put all the ingredients in, and somehow a loaf of bread comes out. But in my convenience, I realize that I've been robbed of the understanding the process that occurs in the machine. So I decided to take up the challenge and plunge myself into the world of sourdough starters. Anybody else? Bakers? Right, okay. We need to chat afterwards because I, complete disaster. So one loaf of bread took me 6 days to make. I started it on the Tuesday. So here are just a few pictures of my sourdough starter. So this is day one. Doesn't look very great. Day two, yep, not a lot different. Day three, day four, day five. Complete disaster. I had to throw it out. It split. I had black on the top. That was the end of that. So I had to start again. And this time I went for the yeast packet, I have to say. And it did start to work. And finally, we got some bread. But over that time, I watched it. I fed it. I nurtured it. And then finally, I stretched it, kneaded it, and finally knocked it back before leaving it to rise. The previous parable of the mustard seed points us to a dramatic development, an expanse of the small mustard seed, building the expectation that the kingdom of God will be bigger than we can see right now. In telling that parable, there was no army or revolution that would be the catalyst, as his listeners might have expected. It would be through the transforming work of Jesus. I can imagine that Jesus' listeners were a bit disappointed and maybe even offended at the suggestion that God's kingdom would come hidden, secretly, growing underground, before its true expanse became known. But as the third in this cluster of parables, today's parable introduces another characteristic of the kingdom, the potency of the yeast. A small amount of yeast that can permeate a huge measure of flour. As I was making my bread, I was struck by how little yeast you need for the dough to leaven. The small amount of yeast necessary is disproportionate to the task of leavening the flour. And yet, whilst unseen, the yeast is working, growing, and transforming the dough. how much of our discipleship is unseen. Individually spending time with Jesus, reading scripture, praying, learning his ways, and learning what following him looks like. Growing and transformation is necessary. It's what happens when we choose to follow Jesus. Discipleship is the way in which this happens. We cannot follow Jesus and remain the same. Just like yeast, following Jesus permeates every part of our lives. We require kneading, stretching, knocking back. I have a friend who I've journeyed with over the last 10 years, and she tells me regularly that I am not the same person she knew when we were first friends. And I was a bit like, okay. But actually, she meant it in a good way, that I had changed, I had grown. I have often said to her, I wish I could see the last 9 years through your eyes. How about if we could see our transformation through God's eyes? If, like me, you find it difficult to see the continual discipleship transformation that comes from faithfully following Jesus, or if you're fearful, maybe, of allowing and seeking after that, thinking, how will this impact my life, my relationships, my ability to keep situations comfortable, then can I encourage you, personal and spiritual growth is evidence of the kingdom. Are we purposefully seeking to grow and be transformed into Christ-likeness? Do you expect those who are journeying with you to change and grow in faith? Are we being transformed by Jesus? Now, I can't imagine how long it took for such a huge amount of flour. I think they said between 25 and 40 litres, 30 kilos, how long that would take to have leavened. However, the time it takes is not important here. The message is that transformation will happen. Jesus is encouraging his listeners that being a disciple will mean being transformed. The quantity of flour in the parable is one of extravagance. This wasn't just for a few people having lunch together. It was for a big gathering. But what we do know is that once the leaven, the yeast, is mixed into the dough, the outcome is assured. It can't be removed. And not only can it not be removed, but it can never just be yeast. And it can never just be flour again. It is transformed into something new. The kingdom of God was being established. The outcome is assured. Jesus has come. His ministry is expanding, going from a secret and hidden place to being seen through the transformation of those who meet and follow him, you and me. The parable reassures us that God can be trusted, that like a portion of yeast transforms the dough, we are assured that the kingdom will transform and permeate everything. The hidden nature of the transformational work of Jesus, the internal change we go through as we grow in discipleship, is what Jesus is speaking of. It is the way the kingdom expands. Matthew, in these two parables, the mustard seed and the yeast, doesn't provide an allegory account of how the process happens, but he focuses on the certainty of the outcome, leavened bread. Now, one of the dangers of reading this parable is that we can think that the kingdom of God equates to the church, and therefore that we should see growth and transformation of the church. And yes, that's part of it. But it is through the work of the Holy Spirit in us that growth and transformation comes. Now, as transformation happens, as the yeast starts to work and the dough is left to rise, there is a point. If you've made bread, you'll know this. There's a point when the bread must be baked, or it will overprove and fall flat. There is a time when our transformation through discipleship leads us to reach out and give a portion of our dough away for the next batch. St. Paul's has a heritage of taking a portion and planting it elsewhere. And I've just in arriving here, I can see that with St. Barbara's and at Heatherside. And again now, it's another time. Just like the dough grows and is more pliable in the leavening process, so the transformational work of discipleship as brothers and sisters of the kingdom will lead to growth, and it will lead to us looking outwards, giving away to the next batch. When the Pavamanis in Calcutta placed their advertisement in the newspaper seeking to bring relief to the distressed, it was because they knew the transformational work of Jesus in their lives and that they wanted to share that with others. A new dough had started. They had no idea of how potent or how much it would permeate the city with the love of Jesus. But when I left there 6 months later, I knew I had seen and experienced something of the kingdom of God and the transformation that comes through following Jesus, being a disciple. If we know Jesus, we are assured that growing, changing, being transformed are all part of discipleship. We should expect it of ourselves, of others, and of our church family. The parable of the yeast encourages us that the size of the task, despite the smallness of the force, is not a hindrance to Jesus and to the outworking of his kingdom here at St. Paul's, Camberley, and whether you're in Calcutta, wherever in the world. I've heard many stories from the congregation at Heatherside since I arrived of how the church plant from St. Paul's, a portion was taken from here and placed there. The kingdom was brought onto Heatherside. A people that know and love God, who are transformed and are living and bringing the love of God to others, is building God's kingdom. It's already here. It's permeating the dough of Camberley. Let us be confident and expectant to see and follow Jesus, to see God's kingdom come through the transformation of our lives and our community that is disproportionate to what we have to give. We're going to take a few moments just to reflect and to respond to anything maybe the Holy Spirit has been prompting. And I'm going to ask, Joe, would you mind just praying quietly for us? And I'm going to leave us with three questions just to think about before I bring us back together in prayer. But I want you to think about these three questions. How are you expecting to grow and change because of following Jesus? And if you're not, then maybe I would encourage you, expect to change when you meet Jesus. How do you need to continue journeying with him? And what do you need for that? Is there something different you need to do this week to restart, engage, or raise your expectation of the change and transformation that following Jesus brings? Let's take a few moments and then I'll bring us back together. Father God, we thank you that when we meet Jesus and we choose to follow him, the only thing you ask of us is to follow you, being your disciples, that you reassure us that in doing that, we are to grow and change and be transformed through the work of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to know how to do that well, individually, but also together, in a way that encourages and challenges one another to continue to grow with you, not be fearful of what that means, but knowing that you are a good, good God. Father, we place ourselves into your hands as your disciples. Transform us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.